Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello and welcome to Leading Off with True Blue LA. We have another special edition with Craig Manami. Craig, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thanks, Eric, for having me on again.
Sure thing. Jacob Birch is out sick this week, so we'll be back probably next week with a regular edition of our The Lineup podcast, but we obviously can't go a week without questions from Craig, so let's just get right into it.
Questions from Craig.
Questions from Craig.
We love them.
Okay, so normally, as you know, Jacob reads me the questions because you send them in when we're doing the podcast. But now that you're here, we have a very special edition, and you are going to read me the questions from Craig. So I will cede the floor to you, sir.
Thanks, Eric. So through the first two games, and including in Colorado, Trey Turner has played 125 games with the Dodgers. In that span of games, Turner has four double-digit hitting streaks, totaling 82 of those games. And so today's your question is doing various Dodger hitting streaks since 1990. Mm. Sorry, we quit the first one. Trey Turner has the third longest on-base streak without error aided when he did that for 39 games from last season through April of this year. Can Eric name the five other Dodgers since 1990 who've gone on base 37 or more games in that in the last 32 seasons?
Oh God. Okay. Wow. 37. So, I don't remember how the certain streak ended. So just because I know he had a 30 game hitting streak, I'm going to say Andre Ethier for one guess.
Andre is the player at 37 games. So yes.
Okay. All right then. Oh God. Rafael Furcal?
Rafael Furcal had a 30-game streak back in 2008.
Not quite. Okay. I don't remember hitting streaks, but did he walk enough? So, like, what about Mike Piazza?
Mike Piazza did not have a streak of at least 30 games in his time with the Dodgers.
I see. Sean Green?
Sean Green is top of the list here with 53 games back in 2000.
53, wow. And then because I think I omitted him on a couple things last week, I'm going to go back to the well with Gary Sheffield.
Gary Sheffield had a 31-game streak, so you have one miss left.
One strike left. Just going to go, oh boy. Let's go with Matt Kemp.
Matt Kemp did not have a streak of 30 games.
All right.
The other players you missed are current analyst Eric Karros, who had a 41-game streak.
Wait, what year, 95?
From the tail end of 94 to 95, so these are streaks you can't carry over. Justin Turner had another one that's carried over from end of 2020, from 2020 to 2021 of 39 games.
Yeah,
And Jeff Kent had a 38-game streak in 2007.
I'm mad mostly about the Justin Turner one because I like specifically remember that. I also am sort of not bothered by it, but like the streaks that go between seasons.
Right.
I just wish they didn't exist because they're not as clean.
Yeah,
or at least come with a non-playoff team, so it's easier.
Right. So, next question. There are five position players who struck out in 15 or more consecutive games since 1990. And I will note, I did pull pitchers out because pitchers were on this list, but of course, they carry over. So I felt this, but I did pull those guys out. So this is from 1990s or 15 or more games striking out.
Before I answer,
I'll give a hit. Two players are on the current team. And the rest played since 2000.
So, before I answer, I will give a behind the curtain spoiler alert for next week's Dodgers Rewind. I won't say who it is, but just know it is a pitcher, and this pitcher, the wiki for him especially noted that he was known for his like lack of batting, or I forget how they worded it, but he hit something like 085 in his career, and with a 55% strikeout rate, which seemed outrageous to me, like. I don't know how that holds up. I didn't look to see how that ranked with it, but man, that's a lot of strikeouts. But okay. So I think the two I almost want to say Chris Taylor this year.
Chris Taylor this year has struck out 18 times, 18 straight games.
He's on pace for over 200 strikeouts.
Right. Yeah. It just ended. Like, he had a streak from June 3rd to June 25th.
Yeah, he's been – so I was looking at something. I don't know where he's at right now. Maybe he tailed off this pace. But so, like, the Dodgers record for strikeouts in a month is 40. I think it was – he and Bellinger did it. And so, my other guess is going to be Cody Bellinger for now.
Amazingly so, Cody Bellinger, this is not on this list.
He just goes in bunches, but not streaks. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's streaks, yeah. Yeah.
So, but back to Taylor for a second. So, I think the worst strikeout rate for a Dodger in a month with like 75 plate appearances was Charles Johnson in, I forget which month in 1998, but it was like something like 37%. And Taylor's in that like 35, 36, or he was over 37 as of like last week, but I think he's going to end June just below that. So, yeah, it's rough. Okay, so back to the strikeouts. Let's go Jock Peterson.
Not Jock. So I think that's I think it's one strike.
Yeah, or no, two, right, because Bellinger.
Two Bellinger.
Yeah, okay, so 15 or more games since 19. So you went back to 90. Raul Mondesi?
No, not Raul Mondesi. The leader... top of the list with 22 straight games, albeit with just 28 strikeouts in those games, Marquise Grissom in 2001.
Wow. That's shocking, yeah.
And then Jason Wirtz did it 18 straight games in 2005. Hanley Ramirez, after the initial trade in 2012, did it for 17 straight games. And current Dodger Gavin Lux, when he first came up, did it 15 straight games, kind of from 2019 to 2020.
Wow.
Grind and dub plays is something you don't think players would do in consecutive games too many times, given their opportunities. Three Dodgers in franchise history, but I want to ask you about two since 1990, have gotten two outs at one swing in four straight games. So can you name these rally killers?
I don't remember exactly I'm not guessing him, but like, I just remember last year, like, Trey Turner, I think, grounded into 18 double plays, which was absolutely stunning. Like I don't even know how that happened. Like, it's obviously, like, you know, he hit the ball hard right at somebody. But, like, it's always, you hear, you know, you don't think the speed guy is going to hit a double play. So that's shocking. But, okay, so double play. So I am going to go here. Let's go with Mike Piazza here just because.
No, but you're somewhat in the right era for one of these guys.
Yeah, so the other is going back to the well with Eric Karros.
Eric Trout is one of them. He did it. He's in 1996.
Adrian Gonzalez.
Adrian Gonzalez is the other one. He did it in 2015, four straight games. Bonus points. Can you name the other Dodger who did it? He did it in 1978.
Okay, so this is probably I'll go Ron Say.
No, Joe Ferguson.
Wow.
Joe Ferguson did. And actually, had you said it, it wouldn't be far off. Albert Pujols, in his short time, grounded into double plays in three straight games last year when he first joined the team in May of 2021.
Wow.
But finally, and this may be something else. It's been a while since you wrote about one of these guys. Five LA Dodgers have hit a home run in five straight games since 1990, which is also the LA Dodger franchise record. So really, this could be LA franchise record streak.
Yeah.
Who are these five players who have hit a home run in five straight games?
Okay, so speaking of the going last season to this season or whatever deal, Adrian Gonzalez specifically was one.
That's one. He is the only one who did the carryover season. So yeah.
Jock Peterson.
Jock did it in 2015.
Okay. Now it gets. I can like sort of envision the list now. I'm trying to think of like that crazy Sean Green homer streak. I don't remember. I'm just gonna say Sean Green just because he had like 2 years of it, but like yeah, Sean Green. I'm gonna guess.
July of 2001, he did it in five straight games. So you're missing.
It was the year before his wild streak. Okay. Wow. I think let's go with Matt Kemp.
Matt Kemp. Yes. So you're now missing just one. The most recent one.
Yeah. I'm just having some trouble thinking of it. Let's go Corey Seager.
No, not Corey Seager. I'm gonna give you one more guess since it's just one left. So.
Oh yeah. The most recent one. So okay. Mm-hmm. Cody Bellinger.
No, but you had the right side of the bat plate. It was Max Muncy in 2019.
Nice.
Okay.
Good one.
Question number two. As you've noted several times, the Dodgers have led the league in runs every season since 2017, and runs against every season since 2017, and runs scored since 2018, corresponding with that run differential. And they are currently doing it the same right now, although right now it's more runs per game and runs against per game because Cardinals have played more games. Do you think this streak will continue through 2022, or will one of these, or will they finally get topped in one of these categories this season?
It's weird because as we're recording this, they're still leading in runs per game. I think they're like right at five or something like that. But over the last like 28 games, they're exactly four runs a game, so they've been like not as good for a month. But that they had that much wiggle room to still lead. I'm more confident in the pitching staff, even though they're obviously missing some pieces. I think they just can have a quantity of folks. I'm going to say yes. I think they, and due to the fact that the Yankees aren't in the National League, say the Dodgers will lead the National League in both runs scored and fewest runs allowed. So yes.
It is a pretty constant. So I'm going to say that they finally get topped in runs scored. I think that one. But I do think they will continue to run differential. The runs against, actually, they have quite a hefty lead on the Padres right now. I think it's like 40 runs. So it's almost like a half run a game right now for them, or it is like a half run a game. So they're doing well there. Question number three. Since being tied for first in the AL West on May 14th, the Angels are 13-28, which is the second worst record in Major League Baseball. You know, they fired their manager, seeing Anthony Rendon do nothing more than get suspended for being involved in a fight, being injured for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
With a cast. The issue was Shohei Ohtani, who's only making, amazingly, I was surprised he is, $5.5 million this year, even after an MVP year, is a free agent after next season. It doesn't seem possible that they could consider trading him. They would get the value back, but he is probably their one asset to maybe restock something. Do you think they go that way, or is it just they just can't, you know, they just can't do that to try to improve?
Right. I think, wow, that would be something.
Especially with the DH now, DH is universal now. I mean, now they have the universal DH, so, you know, it's not even like a question. Like,
so he has a bigger market, right? Like, I think if Perry Minasian has like more sway than maybe other recent GMs did, like he would probably trade him. But I think that's like where Artie Moreno would be like, no, we can't trade this guy. Even, you know, even though like it could be the, like you say, the move that helps them like restock, just like, especially if they think they're not going to resign him. But yeah, I don't know. Like I would say I would bet against them trading him just because of Artie Moreno. Or and to be fair, like I think most owners would be that way. Like they'd be like, we can't get rid of this guy. He's like a marketing dream, you know, that like, so yeah. I don't know.
Although it does raise an interesting amount of money. Like, what do you pay him going forward? Do you keep him on as kind of like this dual thing?
Right.
Like, and what's his worth to you? And so that's interesting. That's a lot of interesting things for them to do. But yeah, I was surprised on how much he got in an arb year.
It came like after like just kind of mediocre, like injury riddled years. Like, you know, he signed a 2-year mm-hmm. deal.
Is that a 2-year deal? Okay, that's why.
Yeah. So like it was like 2 years, eight and a half maybe, and and it was more because, you know, like he didn't pitch in like the end of like two of those years, and then he was really bad in 2020, like hitting, like, you know. So I think there was more question marks. But you're right, like, yeah, what's the limit for this guy? Like his whole thing is like, is he going to be healthy? And he's like proven he can sort of take it on. And like, so
what's the arbitration record for a dual player, player with no category?
Yeah. Is it as simple as just going in and be like, well, Mookie got $27 million and so-and-so, I can't even think of a pitcher, but like so-and-so pitcher got $20 million. So we're going to file at $47 million, you know, or whatever.
Right.
Like, yeah, so who knows what that's going to be? Maybe that would be enough to Artie Moreno be like, okay, we like this guy, but not this much. But no, I don't know. But I would say they wouldn't trade him just because they would try to re-sign him. But yeah, like too popular, like marketing wise, to even, you know, even if it's the right baseball move. And I don't even know if it's the right baseball move. It's like the same. We talked about like Trout, like what it would take for a team to get him would like prevent teams from actually trading for Trout, you know. Now,
right.
Ohtani's maybe not there. I mean, he basically is, but like it's the same concept of like what a team would have to give up to have fair value would be crushing to that team to like do it. So I don't know.
Right. Right.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Okay, question number four. Speaking about trades, real simple. You spoke about, I think, earlier this week, the Dodgers pitching. Do you think, you know, although 3 weeks from now, will the Dodgers make a deal before the All-Star break? And if so, would it be for a bullpen piece? Or what do you think they'll do, or what do you think they'll do?
Yeah, so I was thinking about this. I think they need, like, everything, you know, like they need a hitter. They need a starter, at least one, and then they need, you know, a bullpen piece or multiple bullpen pieces. But so I was thinking about the timing of it for the All-Star break. Like, not that Miguel Vargas is like the savior or anything, but like he's like the most like ready to contribute if they need to call up a guy than like almost I think any pitcher they have. Like Pepio's too wild to like be like super effective right now, I think. But like, yeah, I don't know. So I think they're less likely to panic on that end, or not panic, just rush. And especially I think today, Dave Roberts was saying, like, you know, they do expect Mookie Betts before the All-Star break, but maybe it's just posturing. But maybe they're thinking, look, we're going to get Mookie back, so we don't need to necessarily rush on that. I'm going to go a little bit different on the answer, and I will say both a starting pitcher and a reliever in the same trade. So I think something like I haven't looked at like who the Reds' available relievers are, but something like if they go and trade for Luis Castillo, they also would get a reliever in the deal. And so that's something I could see them sort of doing to get a jump on the market. That's I'll go with that.
Question number five, real simple. I know about you and eggs in general.
Yeah.
What's your feeling about them and breakfast vehicles? Would it be, you know, scrambled like in a breakfast burrito or like a egg McMuffin style egg and a breakfast sandwich? What's your take on those? And then, and does it ever dissuade you from buying some type of breakfast thing because of the egg component?
Yeah, so I admit that my feelings on eggs are weird and I can't explain it. Like, I only like them scrambled. Part of this is like when I grew up, my older sister was like, I think the only one who made them like this. My mom, I don't think, did this, but she'd make her eggs with cheese, but it wasn't just like adding cheese to like a finished omelet, which I actually think is fine. She would have like cheese in the beaten egg, you know, like she'd beat. And for some reason, the texture always made me like gag. It was just so, and I just never got over that. So, I've tried like poached eggs. That's okay. I don't like the runniness of the yolk. I don't like any of that. I guess you could do like fried egg, you know, but it is, but the yolk has to be like completely done in that case. But that's like essentially like scrambled at that point. Like if you're cooking it that much, you know, maybe it's a little overkill. But that said, for breakfast, literally this morning, I went and got a green chili pork and eggs breakfast burrito at a local place. So it has the green chili pork, and then like the, you know, the green chili sauce and beans and scrambled eggs. That was excellent. That's always good. I'm okay with breakfast burritos, like, but you know, it's all scrambled eggs. So that's fine. That's usually a good, thing. The weird thing to me is like, so my go-to at McDonald's is usually none of the egg stuff. If I get an egg thing at McDonald's, it's either the little the sausage burritos they have, and although it's sort of an insult to call those sausage burritos because they're so like tiny and not like what you would think of an actual burrito, but is a bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit. And I didn't realize this until like recently, because so the bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit has the folded egg over it, and then the Like the McMuffin style eggs are like in the little, I forget what you call it. It's like the, like a cookie cutter, right? That they like scramble. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like a mode. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, so I read that like that's the freshest like scrambled egg thing they have. That like egg McMuffin mold. And I would have guessed, I always assume texture wise that it was the folded egg that was the like fresh one. So occasionally I can handle, my go-to just for breakfast generally there is like a sausage McMuffin with no egg. So, but I can occasionally handle like a sausage McMuffin with egg. And, but like, I don't know, it's kind of overkill at that point. Like, but yeah, that's kind of my thing. Yeah.
Sorry. You prefer the McMuffin just because of the, English muffin as opposed to a sausage biscuit because of the biscuit? Is that
yes? Although I like their biscuits, except it's not quite In-N-Out fries level of unreliability. But if you could really get a bad biscuit, and it's terrible. Although when it's like hot and fluffy, it's great. You know what's weird is like I'm not really a breakfast person at Carl's because I don't, their general menu is like not as good. However, I've gotten like a biscuit there a couple times, and their biscuit has generally tended to be pretty consistently like hot and like, you know, flaky basically. So it's been pretty good. But like just mostly I'm an egg. I just like making like a scramble with. It's like sort of making an omelet, but I'm never good at like flipping the egg. So I just like throw it all together, like, you know, with like veggies or ham or whatever at home. And then I just make that. But yeah, just going out. Those are what I generally like. What about you?
No, I think, I was just going to say, I think the first time, it's funny you talk about how you grew up and how your sister put cheese in like the egg as, you know, as it was cooking, as opposed to waiting until it was done and folding it over. I remember the first time I saw someone do that, and it makes sense in like a buffet line or something where they like they take the ingredients and they as the egg cream they put it in the omelet as it's cooking, just because it's just there, and then they fold them. But it was surprising to me. Just, I think one of the first times I saw it doing it, I said, I guess that's an omelet, because when we grew up, and my grandfather would take us to IHOP, and we would get the cheese omelet there, which was just a photo, you know, big three egg photo thing with the cheese there, and that's how I imagined omelets being. And it wasn't, and you know, and then like when I saw him, you know, putting the ingredients in the omelet, flipping over, I said, I guess that works. It just ends up cooking the ingredients a little bit more. I think the whole runny egg on top of sandwich thing is kind of almost a separate category. I do like, I do think. In most vehicles, I prefer scrambled, probably just because if I think it's just a more even texture. I was going to say, just to kind of finish this thing up, there's a local place by here, you know, in a kind of nearby where I live called Lucy's Drive-In. It's, for those wondering, it's on La Brea and Pico, known as one of the more famous breakfast burritos. But for years, it's been there for years and years and years. And growing up, we knew it just by numbers. We'd get like a green 28, which I believe is just a green pork chili burrito, just the pork meat in the green sauce and nothing else, and a 58, which would be fries. So we'd say a green 28 and a 58. Those are like, that's all we needed to say as we drove in at the takeout, just say, yep. But their breakfast burrito is pretty good. Normally I tend to get sausage at takeouts in some places, but also sometimes I get bacon. A lot of times I get sausage.
So we had some technical difficulties. Apparently the podcast gods did not want us talking about eggs for that long. So we lost Craig. I apologize, but I do thank Craig for coming on. Questions from Craig, always a popular segment. Thanks for listening, everybody, and we will see you tomorrow.